No, it's just plain radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take it to the pilot, leave me to the chamber,
take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. For flight training professionals, this is Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the lifestyle of flying, or the aviation lifestyle. Take it, flip it, reverse it, whatever way you want. But today, once again, we are at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida, at the Sunset Grill. People, are you with me? Yeah, there's a few of them out there enjoying their lunch, and we're going to try to abuse them as much as we can this afternoon. But we'll make up for it with some nice prizes as well. Now, we've been having a blast. I actually flew a plane yesterday with Captain Keith. We're going to get to that here in just a bit. We had an amazing press conference just a few minutes ago down by the Warbirds. Right, Keith? Yeah, and I don't know what it was all about, but we're going to get into that story.
We're going to get into that story, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. And Lights was there. Lights is the big cheese here at Sun and Fun. He's the one who makes this magic happen. Am I right, Lights? Oh, we got to turn that mic on. There we go. Give that.
There we go. All right.
Now we're talking.
Make things happen. I don't make nothing happen. I'm only here right on the top of the cart, hanging on to the horse's reins, because the folks that make it happen are all those great volunteers that are all over this campus. Over 3,000 of them are out there participating to make this good for you.
Right.
Now, I want to know something real quick here, if you don't mind me asking. I want to see a number of hands out there. Who was here on Thursday of 2011 when a tornado touched down at the airport? Anybody here? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think
Dorothy. Guess what?
Dorothy was out there.
They owed us one for that one, so we got this beautiful weather. Chamber of Commerce, this is built for flying. Thanks for coming.
Yes, it is. The week has been phenomenal. The weather, it's, I mean, clear skies. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than this for an air show.
Oh, no, no, it doesn't get any better than this. It's been nice and comfortable. It's clear. It's beautiful. And best of all, everybody's taking advantage of it.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's been predicted for so long that this is going to surprise everybody. Before the show even started, we were 2.5 times the number of pre-buy electronic tickets just to come this year's event. How cool is that? And now lines are backed up out the gate trying to get in because there's so much going on.
Yeah, well, there is. I mean, this place is jam-packed. We're at the Sunset Grill this afternoon doing Just Plane Radio, and people are kicking back, having a burger, hot dog sandwich, and getting ready for the air show this afternoon. And what I've seen, you know, I've been here all week, Lights. This is the first time I've actually came in and did it for the long haul. I've been 5 full days camping the whole thing, just immersing myself in the aviation community. And I got to say, this place has really run really, really well.
But he didn't set up his own tent.
What's that?
He did not set up your own tent.
Yes, I did. You weren't here when I did it. It was set up when I got here, and I don't want to hear more crap about that from you, mister. But yeah, the weather has been perfect for campers like myself, or if you want to bring in a motorhome, you want to, you know, shuttle in every day, whatever.
It's, well, you know, what's really perfect out here is the attitude of the entire Sun and Fun staff.
Yeah.
That's called, and you see those buttons, how may I help you? And also, it's Southern hospitality. We may not be the biggest, but we're the friendliest, nicest aviation experience you'll ever go to in an entire lifetime. And our goal is to help every single person find something exciting about aviation and ultimately make it part of their lives, whether they want to make it a hobby or part of their business or maybe a career, but touch the excitement that aviation brings to lives.
Yes. Ed?
Well, and I just chime in on that, Lights. The experience I've had here over the years has been great, but this year in particular, everybody has just gone out of their way to make things happen for us to do the show, but also with just anything we need taken care of. It's been awesome.
Well, that's exactly the philosophy we want to impart, that we are here for everyone. Everyone's a guest. Whether you're flying in here, driving in here, if you're a vendor, you're an exhibitor, you're a performer, you are our guests, and we want you to feel like you got your money's worth, you're enjoying it, you're having a great time, and at the end of the day, everybody should realize that you're not donating to some capitalist cause. You are giving money to the future of aviation, because Sun and Fun is a 501c3, not-for-profit, and when I say not-for-profit, I really mean not-for-profit. All the money goes right back into our education programs. Right up front, we have the Aerospace Center for Excellence, seven buildings and a functioning 727 that allows young men and women to touch and feel and breathe aviation starting at the early age of 14. And we also do private pilot license. Not one, not two, not three, but we actually fund up to 50 private pilots a year, and we do aircraft pilots and mechanics. Those are all paid for because you come to Sun and Fun.
That's amazing, and that's what they don't realize is Sun and Fun's not just this week. You've got events going on here year-round, and we're lucky to be in Orlando, just about an hour drive away, so we're actually able to come to some of them, but you know, it's also worth coming down for some of those other events during the year.
Yeah, you know, one of the really cool events we've added to our venue is we are now the world's largest competition-sanctioned fly-in barbecue. Kansas City Barbecue Association has sanctioned our barbecue. It happens in November 8, 9, and 10 over the Veterans Day. We have a Warbird fly-in. The barbecue is smoking good, and we have... The first time we did it, 185 airplanes flew in for lunch. How about that for a fly-in?
Yeah, that's a $100 barbecue fly-in, maybe, or something like that. Or
well, we made it a little bit cheaper than that, but there was actually some guys flew in a DC-3, loaded up with about 40 folks.
40 folks and took back three cows.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've got to say, the food here at the Sunset Grill and all the vendors, for that matter, at Sun and Fun is really good. I mean, they got some great barbecue here, actually.
Oh, they really do. And our good friend, Terry Schmidt, who's the owner-operator of this fine organization, is a great giver and makes sure that Sun and Fun is a benefactor of a lot of his success here. So when you're eating here and drinking here and having a good time, he turns around a portion of his profit and it rolls into our foundation, right back into the scholarship fund to help keep those buildings and those programs going and all those weekend events that we ask people to come to.
Nice. Now let's talk about some of the events and activities you have going on, as part of the air show, and all the press conferences and things. Like, we just came from this press conference that was just phenomenal. And those kind of stories are really unique and a great opportunity for people to learn some of the aviation history. You can find it right here at Sun and Fun, right, Lights?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, that event you're talking about was just on a ramp. It was a demonstration, an example of how good we have it. Here is a South Vietnamese Air Force pilot in 1975, 39 years ago in April. He was on the ramp in Saigon when the Viet Cong were coming across the runway shooting at him. He put his wife and his five children in an L-19 that's only supposed to hold two people with a bag of gas, and he headed out over the Tonkin Gulf looking for a place to crash because he couldn't stay in Saigon. And on a United States aircraft carrier, the USS Midway was sitting out there in the Tonkin Gulf. The captain, the admiral of the ship said, don't take him. The captain said, those are lives in there. We're going to save them. And he cleared the deck of all the helicopters and pushed them over the side. Helicopters that had been evacuated out of Vietnam. They had landed on the ship. They pushed the helicopters off. They turned into the wind, and they allowed Major Lee with his five children and wife to land on an aircraft carrier for the first time. And that they were saved, and they live in Orlando. He had a very successful career. He's got seven grandkids. His airplane is in the museum in Pensacola. It's the Flight to Freedom, and it's recognized around the world as an example of people using aviation to save themselves from oppression.
Yeah, amazing.
It
amazing
is.
Story.
And we're actually going to have the captain up here shortly
hopefully, to
talk with us. So
Rolo. That's his airman name. You're Lights.
I'm Lights.
They call you Lights because we got to get that out. Why?
Well, okay, let's get to the facts here. I hate to tell this story in public, but you might as well know it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get to pick your call sign when you're in the Navy. You have to do something stupid. Mm. And I was really good at doing stupid stuff in my early days. And my last name is Leanhouts. And they said, well, that's kind of like a lighthouse, but you're making so many mistakes, it's kind of like the lights are out. So I was Lights Out for the better part of about 3 years, till I stopped making all those goofy junior officer mistakes.
Yeah.
And then they said, maybe we'll just keep you as Lights. And the next thing I know, I'm the public affairs officer carrying a camera. And they go, maybe we'll just call him Lights, Camera, Action.
Okay.
So I've been Lights ever since.
It's better than Lights Out.
Oh, anything's better than Lights Out. That was a call sign I didn't want to carry very far.
All right,
far.
So the call signs, you get those by making mistakes.
Absolutely.
So I guess I don't know how I earned mine, but because there's so many mistakes that I've made... there's too many choices, I guess. Is that right, Keith?
I'm not sure we can actually say it on the radio.
Yeah, well, that's probably true.
Hey, you know, speaking of call signs, it just so happens the guy that made the models to give to that Major Lee and Admiral Chambers, who was the one who authorized the ship to turn into the wind, that guy's call sign, you're going to love this. His last name is McLeod. Yeah. They call him Psycho.
Psycho.
And there's Psycho right there.
Yeah, we're going to actually talk to him next. In the next segment, and find out what it is, because he actually made a model of the airplane that guy flew over.
His model is absolutely stunningly perfect, right down to the grease, the dirt marks, and all the prop strikes on it.
And Lights, thank you so much for allowing us to do our little thing up here. This has been a blast.
Greg, thank you so very much. I got to thank everybody that came to Sun and Fun. You're making this the biggest year ever. I hope everybody goes away that you feel you got everything you wanted and more. You love what we're doing. Have a great Sun and Fun day.
There you go. All right, more coming up in Lakeland, Florida next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Now go! Fly! Be free!
Time for me to fly!
This is Just Plane Radio, Greg and co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. We are at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida, doing the big show from the Sunset Grill this afternoon. Having a big old time while they enjoy their lunch. We're doing our little show on the stage. And I got to say, Ed, what do you think? This is a blast, isn't it? This is the place to be if you are an aviation enthusiast this weekend, no doubt.
Aviation enthusiast, aviation junkie. I mean, there's something for everybody. Antiques, classics, warbirds, home builds, new airplanes, all kinds of neat stuff. Super great seminars that I don't know a lot of people know if they're the seminars that are going on here. So you literally could be busy for the whole week.
Absolutely. Keith, what do you think? What's been the highlight so far for you?
Well, I think the highlight for me so far has been the interview that we went to this morning, and that's what we're going to talk to Psycho about here.
We're going to speak to Psycho, yes. Which seems a little strange.
Yeah, but it fits right in with what we do. So
it's true. It's true. So, Psycho, welcome to Just Plain Radio. And
hello.
Now, you do a little bit of everything. I mean, is that right? I mean, not only do you make models, which we'll get into that in just a bit.
Indeed.
But you have been in aviation for some time.
Absolutely. I think, like probably most of the people here at Sun and Fun, I've got the aviation bug.
Yeah.
Anything about aviation, aerospace, aircraft, spacecraft, I'm all over it.
All over it. And right,
all over
so
it.
You work for as a commercial pilot right now.
Yes, indeed. I had a career start out in the Navy, and as a little side note, everything that Light said, it's true.
Yeah.
He and I flew A-7s and VA-46 up at Cecil Field for a couple years, so
okay.
Lights and I go back to the early 80s. Fantastic guy to fly and work with. And as you can see here at Sun and Fun, he runs a good ship, and he knows how to make things work. And anything he can do in aviation is going to work great. So it's been fun to work with him. So after VA-46, I went out to China Lake at VX-5 for a couple of years, some operational test and evaluation.
Yeah.
Flew the A-7 and the F-18. Came back to Cecil Field, flew Hornets, and kind of that was my Navy career, F-18s,
right.
A-7s.
And you got out of that eventually, and now you're in commercial airline. I don't want to mention the name of the airline because your nickname is Psycho.
Yes,
and
you
say, hey, we got Captain Psycho at the helm today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just guessing we shouldn't say the airline name.
Well, I'd say on that note, like Light said, how do call signs come about? And I would say that, yeah, I got mine the old-fashioned way. I earned it.
Yeah?
You know, but... Okay. No, that's partly because the guys on the squadron wondered why on the weekends I was going out and jumping out of airplanes. I fly them, I jump out of them, I build models. All you know, again, anything aviation, I'm for it, even if it doesn't require an airplane except for the ride up.
Yeah.
So I guess I would say I have more takeoffs than landings, which may not be a good thing, but that's what I have.
Hey, you're here today. That's all that matters.
But, the transition to commercial aviation was kind of by probably destined. You know, career in the Navy, transition to the airlines. And,
right.
That's where the career's been going so far.
Yeah. Now, he's shown me some pictures of his models, but before that, he said, yeah, I do a little bit of everything, and he showed me his screen on his mobile phone, and you know, you're basically one of these flying squirrel guys that jump out of planes and create your own plane out of your body skin or something. I don't know what the hell
Absolutely.
That is.
Now, the thing is, I always kind of wonder because so many people in aviation love to fly.
Yeah.
But I always maintain that... they invented the airplane for the parachutists because Da Vinci kind of invented the parachute way back in the 1400s.
Okay.
And it took us another couple hundred years to invent an airplane to get the skydivers enough altitude to make it worthwhile.
Okay. But, that's one way to look at it, sure.
Yep.
But you do these flying suit things, though.
Yes, they're called wing suits. There's a lot of common term like squirrel suits and things like that.
Right, but, flying squirrel suit.
The term is wing suit because it's a very large square foot jumpsuit.
And squirrel suit just sounds weird.
It looks like just one piece of material, but actually those wings are actually two layers of material with an airfoil.
Yeah.
And the front edge has openings that actually pressurizes and inflates. So when we leave the aircraft, we actually keep our legs and our arms in so that it won't go straight back and hit the tail. But once you're clear, you kind of look up and you see the bottom of the airplane.
Yeah.
You spread your arms, you inflate the suit, and then you're flying.
Wow.
But actually these suits, just to give you an idea, we generally jump from about 14,000 feet.
Yeah.
And a good suit can get about a 3 to 3.5 to 1 ratio. So we can hop out of 14,000 feet and fly about 3 to 4 miles back to the drop zone.
Wow. That is something.
It is a scream.
I bet. Now, is that way more
fun? That's psycho.
That is psycho, exactly.
Indeed.
But is that
more
fun?
Why get out
fun?
Of a perfectly good airplane, for that matter, one that's not burning?
Because the door's open.
Yes.
Always seems to have an answer for it.
That's right. Hey, there's an open door. You go through it, right?
There you go.
And now, what is more fun, though, doing just the skydiving or doing that windsuit thing?
Actually, the skydiving discipline has really expanded in the last few years. What used to be just get out of the airplane and try to get the parachute open became can people actually get together? And nowadays we have formation flying, which is the standard people getting together making formations. There's head down. There's sit flying. There's style and accuracy, one of the old disciplines, wing suiting. There's many, many facets to skydiving that people can participate in. And what's really key is a few years back, the FAA gave approval for the tandem program where an instructor can have an oversized chute and an identical reserve chute. and attach a passenger and make a tandem jump so people can come out and try skydiving. I always kind of like that term because people say, I like to try it. I say, well, you can't try it. Once you're out the door, you ain't coming back. You know, you're going. But you can go make a skydive with a tandem instructor, and people get to throw their life. And I've never, ever, in all my years, met anybody who made a tandem and said, I wish I didn't do that. They said, Everybody should do this. And some people make one and say, that's enough. Other people keep coming back, and some people actually, I think the numbers say 8 or 9% of the people who make a tandem take up skydiving.
Wow. Well, it's on my list. I haven't done it yet, but definitely on my list. Ed, have you done that?
No.
And that means he will never.
No, Keith? I have not done it, and I can probably guarantee that you will never do it either.
Why do you say that? I scuba dive. I do all kinds of crazy extreme sports. I'm kind of borderline psycho. I've been called that many times.
But for totally different reasons.
Well, scuba diving's like skydiving.
Yeah, exactly.
When you run out of air, you're done.
True. True. We dive down, and, you know, it's kind of like flying. I'm like a flying squirrel underwater.
Yeah, he's full of hot air. There, he won't run out.
The wingsuits, they're very advanced for the skydiving discipline, and there's some requirements that you actually need to have about 300 to 400 jumps before you actually use a wingsuit.
Really?
There are some complications and some discipline issues with using them that you have to be aware and familiar with the environment.
Well, not just that. Yeah. I would imagine you have to be aware of how to fly a plane, or that would come into...
No, not at all. Flying,
come into
flying
play at
aircraft
all?
Would
Helps?
Help you understand them,
right.
But the skydiving is completely different. But I would equate it to say that, hey, I just got my pilot license. Can I fly that F-104? They're going, oh, no. I say, you need a lot more training.
Need a lot more training. Leave that to psycho.
Sure. But, yeah, it's a step, but there's graduations in skill level.
Well, it's cool stuff. Now, we're going to keep Psycho on for the next segment, talk about these models that he makes that are quite impressive. That's coming up next from Lakeland, Florida, on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg and co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida. We're kicking it at the Sunset Grill. While people have their lunch, we're doing the show. It's a nice little atmosphere for Just Plane Radio today. Now, we're with Psycho, who, he flies wing suits and just has been an aviation enthusiast for years, and that's his call sign. And he is a pilot for a major airline. We're not going to say which one because, saying that you have Psycho at the helm might not go over great. So we'll leave his the brand of air, the airline he works for off to protect the guilty today. However, you also do these models, and that's what we saw when me and Keith were at the press conference talking about that story earlier, that guy that Lights was discussing. It was just an amazing thing. And you actually made a model of the airplane that guy flew and landed on the Midway the Midway ship, right?
Actually, I made two of them. Two identical models.
Yeah.
Technically, they're 1/48 scale 01E bird dogs. One was presented to Admiral Chambers, and the other one was to Major Lee.
Yeah. Admiral Chambers is the one who gave it the go-ahead and gave him the green light to land. And he ended up scuttling a bunch of equipment on deck, too, which, wow, that was pretty amazing.
Now, that to me, listening to that story with my years in naval aviation, it just it reinforced what I've observed is that naval aviation is kind of a strange animal, is that it's operational 100% of the time, 24/7. We don't wait for something to happen. We are deployed operationally around the world all the time.
Right.
So when things happen, we're on top of it immediately. And looking at that scenario, how he explained it, the critical timing involved, I've observed people in the leadership roles like that, they're so dialed in and they make these almost instantaneous decisions, and they know what's going to happen because it takes time to get the gears of the machine turning. If he did not decide, like right away, clear the decks, push a bunch of helicopters in the water. I mean, we're evacuating South Vietnam. We're leaving all. We're leaving half the army behind.
Yeah.
I don't care if I throw a few helicopters in the ocean.
To save lives.
A guy, his wife, and five kids will die if they go in the ocean.
He knew it. He made the call, and it turned out quite well. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
This is Just Plane Radio. We're at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida today. I'm talking to Psycho. I mean, this is in... I love this kind of conversation. Don't you, Keith?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
So, now, Psycho, you got to tell us how you met and how you came to build this model.
Actually, the track for this was that a couple of years back, Captain Bronson, who was involved in putting this whole thing together this morning... He was the CEO of VA-46 back in the mid-70s, and I was in that squadron in the early 80s. So we actually kind of met early on. He works with a group, the Naval Historical Foundation, and up in Washington, D.C. at the Naval Yard, they've got a project. It's the U.S. Navy Cold War Gallery, and they wanted to get some airplanes that represent the significant aircraft of the U.S. Navy during the Cold War period, specifically like 1949 through 1993 when the Berlin Wall came down. But how do you get all those aircraft in a small building? This, you can't. We need models. And he knew that I was a model builder, so he began to discuss the project, and they brought me on to basically build what started out as 19 models. We're up to 43 with 39 of them delivered, plus some of the admirals and astronauts that were in the Navy that went on to do other things that sponsored models have actually had me build some private contract models for them of their specific airplanes that they flew. So that project kind of expanded, and when today's evolution came together, Captain Bronson knew that this event was kind of critical. It's the anniversary coming up, so he had me build these identical O-1E bird dogs of the exact airplane that Major Lee flew onto the Midway.
Wow. Now, and these are on a scale of what? What is it?
1/48th scale. So 1/48th, basically, okay. 1/48th the size of a full-size airplane.
All right. So, and you've done so many of these. Are you making them all by hand yourself?
Yes. These are, they're basically commercially available, like injected molded plastic or sometimes a specialty resin kit.
Mm-hmm.
I take the kits and I buy aftermarket photo etch or resin pieces to improve the quality. Or if I can, if it's an older kit without any... other aftermarket pieces, I'll just by hand scratch build the things I need. But in the end, every model I build is an exact replica of the specific airplane that the person wanted,
yeah.
Right down to the bureau number and their name on the canopy rail.
Nice.
So that these are all one-of-a-kind models. There's none other like it. I even make the decals myself. If I don't have the graphics I need, I usually end up making the decals
right
for the model specifically.
Yeah, well, I saw when he got it, and he was looking at the model, and he goes, how did you make it look like it's weathered? It looks... You did the whole weathering of the metal and everything, I guess.
That's just a technique that model builders are familiar with. But
yeah.
you build a model, all the major construction put together, you begin to paint
it. You take it, you jump in a wingsuit, and you take it gliding with you and have the wind.
No, not quite. But at first the model comes out, it's nice and clean and shiny and glossy, and then you put the decals down. But then you start to add pastels and washes, and you beat it up. You make it look weathered, because those of us who fly know that some of the machines out here are nice and clean and shiny and glossy, and they look pretty.
Yeah.
Operational aircraft look like that for about a day.
Yeah.
And then they're greasy and dirty and patched up and spray painted, and they show their wear and tear. So to make a model look accurate, you have to weather it and make it look beat up.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it takes way too much time.
Not for me.
Not for you. It's what you love to do, and God bless you
for it.
It's
my gig.
I just wouldn't have patience for that. But, man, it was impressive.
the detail. And obviously, it really hit home with him. I mean, that was a very touching moment for both of them when they got their models. I mean, because obviously these two guys have a connection that will be bound forever.
That's part of what I like to do is I don't like to just build, here's a model of an airplane and notionally did this. I like a specific model of a specific event or a specific person. In this case, the Bird Dogs are on a carrier base that shows a piece of the flight deck with the stripes. So the airplane is actually in a position exactly as a photograph that shows it when it came to a stop. Mm-hmm. So those models replicate the instant that he finally landed. And he had flown to freedom. He was home free.
Yeah.
He stopped on the flight deck, and we're saved, and there they are.
Yeah.
And that's the moment in time that was captured. So these models are actually interesting that it's not just a model per se of a person's airplane, but sometimes they capture a moment in time or illustrate a part of history that's significant, and it actually leads to other information that expands your knowledge of aviation and aviation history.
Right. Now, is that have you ever had one of those situations where you've made one of these models and given it to someone like the colonel there, and they dropped it? And you're
not,
like, no!
Not yet.
Not yet. I'm just saying, those are the kind of things like you, I mean, like a model like that, obviously, how many hours did you spend on that? Can you say?
Those models were about 75 or 80 hours each.
Wow. Well, it is impressive. And before I let you go, I do want to just ask you, what is it about Sun and Fun that you have found so entertaining for yourself? Is there any one thing that you're here for?
No, I don't think there's a specific item. I like the spectrum of events. There's a little bit of everything from going to the vendor area looking for little knickknacks for items, and I eventually hope to buy an airplane, and I could come here and buy parts for it.
Yeah.
I can visit the shops and look for...
Why wouldn't you buy an airplane? Wouldn't you just make one or just shrink yourself down to 1/48th of the size? You have the choice of like 45 different planes.
That would be interesting, but then who's going to use the radio to control that little model that I'm in?
Well, that's something you're going to have to work out. Just a small little caveat to that idea.
But yeah, Sun and Fun is a wide spectrum of things, and everything from the vendor area, the flight demonstrations, and actually bumping into people. And I've had a couple of years here where I bumped into somebody that I hadn't seen for years. It's like a great reunion. So
right.
You get in the aviation community, you stay in it, and you just keep seeing all the things. It just gets better every year.
Excellent. Well, Psycho, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure, sir.
We spent a lot of time with him today, but he obviously had a lot to discuss, and that was impressive. Impressive stuff. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And, let's bring on Charlie. Charlie, come on up here, buddy. Now, actually, we talked to Charlie last year. We met him here at Sun and Fun for the first time. And Charlie works for My Go Flight. And this is a favorite event for you, right?
Yeah, we love Sun and Fun. This is our fourth year.
Fourth year. And mygoflight.com, you can go check out all the line of products. You guys have expanded big time over the last year.
Yeah, we have everything you need to take your iPad safely and securely into your airplane. Cases, mounts, bags, accessories. We've gotten in extensive feedback and wonderful praises for our new flight bags that work with the EFBs in the cockpit very well. And
right.
Yeah, we're having a great time at
the
show.
So ways to secure your iPad, iPhone, everything in the cockpit. Cockpit organization.
Something Greg needs very badly.
Yeah, I just need organization, period. Yeah. Doesn't even have to be cockpit.
Yeah, I think
maybe
his wife would agree with that.
Next year, you'll be like life coaches or something, the way you guys are expanding.
Yeah, right.
Well, now, I got to tell you a story from today. I'm driving down here, brought my family, and I used the MyGo Flight charger that I bought last year.
Ah.
And my wife likes it so much, she's keeping it, which is fine, because I saw your new one the other day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's smaller, it's better for the airplane, I'll go get that one. You can keep this one.
That's good. And our new line is what we call rapid chargers, so they're all 2.4 amp, so they charge everything in a lot less time.
And if I understood, they were 28 volt as well?
28 volt for the airplanes, and 2.4 amps and a 2.1 amp, so you could charge two iPads or an iPad and ADS-B receiver. You can charge them both at the same time, and that's a first. There are no other cigarette lighter 28 volt chargers that have the rapid charge feature.
Well, I think it's super important when you're flying with an iPad to keep the one on the yoke charging so that if you lose ship's power, you still have a fully charged iPad, especially with this AHARS technology that's coming through the Stratus and some of the other devices out there.
Yep, it's really important to keep it charged because the last thing you want to do is find yourself like I have where your MFD shuts off and your iPad isn't up and ready to go. So we really recommend that they stay charged, they be mounted, and they be tracking along your flight, same as everything else.
All right, I got a dumb question.
Sure.
That's my role here.
That's
just
all
right
his
now.
Questions, though.
The 2.4 volt you're talking about, so that is what you need to be able to power a iPad versus an iPhone?
2.4 amps is what the new iPad Air requires.
Okay, okay.
Okay, it used to be 2.1 amps for an iPad. Now it's 2.4. But when you use a device like an iPhone or an regular iPad in that port, it just charges it that much faster.
Okay, okay, got it. So you need that extra juice to get it up
to
where you want
it to go. And some people are complaining that they're watching their iPads drain even when they use a charger. That won't be the case with a 2.4 amp power source.
My question, is it enough to... You know, power the flux capacitor.
The flux. It can do the flux capacitor.
What about Angry Birds?
Well, Angry Birds, that could lead you to getting to the wrong airport, and that wouldn't be good.
Well, exactly. That wouldn't make that wouldn't be a good.
That make for an angry FAA.
Yes, exactly. But you got to have the proper power. MyGoFlight can help you with that. MyGoFlight.com.
Absolutely.
And you can do some great seminars here at Sun and Fun, and they have some great products. Check it out. If you're not here at the show, of course, just go to mygoflight.com. All right, more coming up from Lakeland, Florida. Stay close to Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deepwater Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deepwater Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwaterk.com. That's deepwaterk.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Never feel sorry for a man who owns a plane.
So here I stand, and then again I say, I'm hoping we can make some wishes out of airplanes.
Can we pretend that airplanes in the night sky are like shooting stars?
Yeah,
so I can really use a wish right now, wish right now, wish right now.
This is Just Plain Radio, Greg and co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. Once again, we're at Sun and Fun in Lakeland, Florida, enjoying ourselves immensely. It's about the community. The aviation community comes together here in Lakeland every year at this time of year and just has a blast. And really, it has been fun hanging out in the campground with all the aviators and sharing a few stories with those folks that, you know, we'll share more of those throughout the year as we do Just Plain Radio, because I've made a lot of cool memories here this week.
Well, something cool on last week's show when we met a listener came in from Pennsylvania. He actually won our little trip to the Bahamas.
Yeah, to Deepwater Key. Yeah. And, you know, we're trying to figure out which one of the crew he's taken with him. We haven't, you know, he suggested coleslaw wrestling. I don't know what that meant. But
I think
it would...
that's between you and Keith.
Okay. Well, Ed's bowing out, Keith. I mean, I don't know.
He's just copping out.
He's just a wuss.
Because he doesn't have a passport. He
doesn't
go.
Understand how big a deal that is or how big a prize that is. But
hey, I think it worked for me this time. I'm not doing coleslaw wrestling.
All right. Well, we'll leave that for another day and another adventure. However, we have more stuff to give away today, and we pulled some people up out of the audience here at the Sunset Grill to help us out. And we asked for very specific type of pilots. First of all, the youngest pilot, and we found that with who do we have here?
We've got John here. John is 21 years old.
John, where are you from?
Tampa.
Tampa, Florida, huh? So how did you get your pilot's license so young?
I started when I was 14.
14?
Yeah, as soon as I turned 17, took the license, and
yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I see you're wearing an Army shirt. Are you in the Armed
No.
Forces? Okay, so you decided, I want to fly, and you
Runs
made it happen. And basically, you make older guys like me feel like schlubs, because here's this young punk comes in here, gets his pilot's license in a matter of, you know, weeks.
How long did it take you, by the way?
Well, you have to be 17, so 3 years, but... Because I started when I was 14, so.
Did you? Okay, so he had 3 years. It hadn't been 3 years for me yet.
But
there's
he
still
has
hope.
An excuse.
What do you mean?
He wasn't old enough yet.
I have an
You're
excuse. I have
old.
Tons of excuses.
You're plenty old.
I've told you time and time again, there's the excuse of travel. There's you guys are too slow in as far as how you're teaching me. It's your fault. And, I could go on for days as far as when it comes to excuses.
Blah, 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 blah,
I wasn't
blah,
old
blah,
enough
blah.
Mentally. How about that?
Okay, so, John, once you soloed, how long did it take you to finish up?
A year. I flew before I drove, so.
Didn't you really? You flew before you drove.
I did, too.
Now, do you come from an aviation family, and that kind of, like, sparked your interest in all this?
Yeah, father and both my grandparents.
So what do you hope to do with this? Are you going to get into aviation as far as a career, or?
We'll see, hopefully.
Yeah?
Possibly.
Now, are you getting into this acrobatic stuff, too? Is that it, maybe on the horizon? Yeah.
We'll see. I keep my options open.
So. All right. Just keeping all options open. Well, that's very cool. That is quite an accomplishment. I'm sure all your friends are quite envious.
Now,
are you like the man? Are you like the Tom Cruise? Which is like, that's an old dude.
Did it help
man.
You pick
Come
up
on.
Your girlfriend?
No.
No. Pilots are still chick magnets.
No, not
She's
at all.
Looking over there. She's
laughing.
Shaking. She's like, oh, yeah, that works for me. Yeah, I hear you. All right, way to work it, dude. You got it going on, man. All right, cool. Well, we appreciate it. Hang tight. And then we asked for someone who actually soloed the longest time ago.
And we got Ray here who soloed 47 years ago. Hi, Ray.
47.
Hey, hello.
How are you, Ray?
Good.
Yeah,
glad
now,
to
so,
be here.
Now, where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Knoxville, okay. So did you fly in for this thing this week?
Yes, I flew in yesterday.
What are you flying?
A-36 Bonanza.
An A-36 Bonanza. So have you been coming here time in and time out type of thing? Sunny fun annual?
On and off about the last probably 15 years, something like that.
Yeah? So you've been doing a little bit of you've been doing this a while.
Yeah.
So do you even remember your first solo flight?
Yeah.
That long ago. That's a long time.
Yeah, well, let's see. Let me think. No, I don't.
You don't? Okay.
I don't think anyone really forgets when they first saw it.
Yeah. So what do you remember most about it? Just that it changed your life kind of thing? Or
the airplane performed better.
The airplane performed better than you?
Yeah. No, when the instructor got out.
I didn't hear what he said. What did he say?
When the instructor got out, it performed better.
Think about when I got out of the airplane, how much better Charlie Mike climbed.
That is true. Yeah, you're right. I noticed that as well. It's like, hey, I can actually do this. But it was Ed was my flight instructor before, I did my first solo. You talking about similar size because of the weight and that kind of thing? Not that he is heavy or anything. I'm just saying. I'm trying to brown nose and backtrack as much as I can with my flight instructor because I'm not through my
cert. It's not working.
Yes, exactly. It never does. But are you in the industry, or you just fly for fun, or what?
I fly a A330 Airbus.
An A330 Airbus? Oh, so you work for one of the airlines as well.
So you're working to this day, and this is just vacation week?
Yeah,
sun still, and fun for commercial pilots like you, is that automatic vacation time?
Spring break for pilots.
Spring break for pilots. So where's the wet T-shirt contest? Is there one here? In there? The young guy's going, hey, there's a wet T-shirt contest.
Yeah, all right, hey.
I want a piece of that action. Yeah. All right, well, I appreciate you guys coming up and putting up with our nonsense. You love coming out here, I take it, right?
Oh, yes.
It's fun.
Yes, we do. And plus, they have a tiki bar.
You have a what?
They have a tiki bar.
They have a tiki bar, exactly. That's always a draw here at the Sunset Grill. You know, it gets a little hot while they're watching the air show and kick back with a brewski or two, and it makes for a fun afternoon, doesn't it? And you know, a couple of those, that wet T-shirt contest actually may happen. You never know. But for you guys coming up to helping us out today, we got some Just Plain Radio Nanook protective cases for you. Put your iPad in that thing. It's airtight, watertight, you know, whatever things you need to protect. You put them in there, and you'll be good to go. Sound good? All right. Thanks for coming up.
Thank you very much.
You never knew that.
You're welcome.
Come to Sun and Fun and walk away with something free and pretty cool. You guys don't even have any of those.
I don't have those either.
Yeah.
I want one.
No, I just gave away the last two.
Toys put in there.
That was yours and that was Keith's. So, you know, they took it. That's what happened. Sorry, guys. And we'll leave it at that for this week. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.